This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 331. We just hit the brand new franchise, and it's one of the biggest franchises in film history. We're going to be tackling we're going to be tackling the Star Wars franchise. We're going to start it off with the episode four. Yeah, the original trilogy. We're going to do episode 4, 5, and 6, but we're going to start it all off with A New Hope from 1977. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, when was the first time you got to see A New Hope?
Oh, dang. Okay, let me be honest. You know, this is a good question. It's just going to segue into something I wanted to say before we even start the review. I think we need to preface this review because you mentioned that this is one of the biggest franchises. I think it is the biggest franchise in cinema history, just as far as how long it's been around. It doesn't have as many movies as, say, James Bond or, you know, but financially, the impact it made in the culture, the impact it made in filmmaking, you know, the sci-fi, space opera, all that kind of stuff, I think it's the most impactful franchise ever. Okay, so let's just preface it with that. And number two, I am not a big Star Wars guy. Like, I know right up here I have this because I own the movies.
Yeah.
But this is going to be interesting. You're more of a Star Wars fan. And I know you like Star Trek even more, but you're more of a Star Wars fan than I am. I would consider myself casual. I'm a casual fan. I have seen every single one of these movies, and I've seen them all multiple times, okay? The first time I remember seeing Star Wars, I was not that young. I didn't grow up with this movie. I didn't watch this as a little kid. I think I saw it on VHS when I was like 10 or 11. I mean, I guess that is little, but it wasn't like Ninja Turtles or something that I watched when I was 5 or 4. Like, I was a little older, almost a teenager, and then I actually saw it when they re-released it in theaters. My grandma took us to see it. So, but you know what? I don't think it was this one. I think it was Return of the Jedi. So I saw one of them in the theater, but I've probably seen this movie a good 7 times or something. I've seen it a lot of times. Like, even when I was watching it, I knew all the parts.
Yeah, when it comes to this one, this was not my first Star Wars movie. First one that I ever seen was Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Because I was born in 1983, and that's when that movie came out, Return of the Jedi. I guess within my teenage years, the Return of the Jedi was the first one.
You went back and caught up.
Then I caught up. Once the Blu-rays and all that stuff kicked in, I was like, oh, okay. But I had the VHSs. Yeah. But
I didn't. But
the original
uncut
stuff.
Shout out to my cousin James Perez. He's always in our. His dad. He had like the fat box with all the tapes, and that's how when I saw it the first time.
Yeah. So look, it was easy. But you know what? Rewatching this one, because I don't watch this one a lot. Like, I know you saw this 7 times. This one I can say is like a fresh take, because what people don't understand is George Lucas altered the New Hope, Return of Jedi, and Empire Strikes Back. He came back and he did a special edition and added scenes that he wanted to do, but he didn't have the technology back then. So he went back, he altered it, and pretty much destroyed the original
director's cuts
for a lot of
technically,
people.
Technically, they're director's cuts. But the problem is it's the only way you can watch it, unless you have an old thing.
So for some reason, there's this urban legend around Star Wars is that George Lucas burned all the original takes of the film.
I know he did.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and when he sold it to Disney, I think one of the things in the contract was that you cannot release the original cuts of these originally. And honestly, it's urban legend, but man, let me just tell you, there's no way you could get your hands on this unless it's like a bootlegger on eBay or something like that. So I got the uncut version from the original. Nate saw it with the special edition 4K with the Jabba the Hutt
for
right
this,
here walking around.
For this review, I have so this seen a special the original edition. Version. So I know the parts that are like added and the CGI things. They look, first of all, you can't miss it. Like they look like they don't belong there. So yes, but for this, I watched the special edition. You watched classic.
Yeah, I watched the classic version, and those are available for you to purchase, but you got to find the places where. But they do have
at your local anonymous movie dealer.
Anonymous people. Okay, with that said, let's get to some financials here. Now, this is financials from 1977. Okay, so this is not from the special edition release again, and then they re-released it again in 19. Yeah. No, this is just from 1977. The movie was budgeted at $11 million, okay? And a worldwide grossed $775 million. Now, again, I don't know if this is inflation or whatnot, so I can't give you this is the 1977 money, but I believe that is kind of high just for adjusted, so far.
I don't know if it's a, I think with inflation, it's higher. And I think like tickets sold, it's one of the highest movies, I want to say. Like,
okay, top five. I just pulled it up here. It's $307 million.
So that is
what it grossed in 1977. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So it's $11 million budget, and it grossed in 1977, $307
million. That's a crap time. I mean, you just said it's 700. And you got to remember, that's $770 million or whatever for an original movie that no one knows anything about. It's not based on a book. It's not based on a... It's just a... Imagine that now. Like, just someone makes this movie that's in space with $11 million and it makes $700 million. Imagine.
No, it made $307.
No, I'm making it too equivalent to today.
Oh, yeah.
So let's say they had a budget of $25 million, and then they make a movie that no one's ever heard of it. No. And then it makes $700 million. It's like, it's insane.
And domestically, you know what? I'm just going to do, because they're giving me these numbers, and I want you guys to hear this, because this is really a big franchise that we're tackling. It took us 300 episodes in to do this franchise. So I'm kind of excited. So if this is a long episode, we're sorry, but bear with us. In 1982, they re-released this sucker, and it grossed $15 million. Okay. In 1997, the special edition came out, and it grossed $138 million.
Okay.
The Star Wars May 1st, 2014, it grossed only $340,000.
It was like one show.
It was just a one-off there. And then they re-released it on 2020. They re-released it again and only grossed $237,000. And 2022, they released it, but it's only in Australia they released it. So this movie got re-released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times.
Yeah, and if you add them all up, it's like over 900 million. It's like close to a billion.
Yeah.
So with inflation and everything. It's a lot. So, I mean, heck. I mean, yeah, it is. 300 million when movie tickets cost like a dollar. Or whatever they were. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, yeah, you're right in that. But all right, so we gave you guys the financials from across the decades. Let's get to the audience and critics. What did they have to say about this?
Well, you might be surprised. You may not be surprised. They're very high. Both of the scores are very high. This has a 93% critic score and a 96% audience score. So this was one of those times where, not surprised, you know, sometimes I go in the Rotten Tomatoes every Tuesday. We record every Tuesday for you all listening at home. And right before we record, I make my notepad and I go on Rotten Tomatoes and I'm like, let me write down these scores. And this was one of those times where I was like, not surprised. This is exactly what I thought I was going to see when surprised. I pulled this up.
Okay. All right. Look, I'm not surprised either. You know, I'm not surprised because, again, this is like the biggest franchise. And this was not even owned. This is the first movie wasn't owned by Lucas, right? It was like a film studio had Fox. It before because he signed the rights.
Fox. This is a 20th century
Fox had it, right? And then Empire Strikes Back was another company, so they had to work out the differences, right?
Like, I believe they were all Fox. However, I think Lucas eventually just like, I guess he got the rights like clear, like Lucasfilm and started all that kind of stuff. But I know Fox was the distributor for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, let's start it all off. Okay, lead character, Luke Skywalker. All right, take it away, Nate. What did you think?
So I want to preface this review as well with everyone, don't get mad at me at home. Let me tell you my approach to this movie, Alex. All right, let me tell you my approach. I wanted to approach this as if this is the first movie and I'd never seen it, okay? Because I have seen it a lot. And I think it's hard to judge a movie like Star Wars because you've seen the franchise, like you've seen it 100 times. You've seen the shows, the sequels, the prequels, everything. So you know how it ends. So I tried to wipe my mind and say, okay, let's say I walked into a theater in 1977. How are these categories? So I want no one to get mad at me when I give all my scores, okay? But we're not going to get mad yet. I do think the lead, and I also factored in Han Solo and like, you know, it's an ensemble, but Luke is the lead. I did give them a 5. If one thing this movie does amazing right off the jump, it has great characters. Characters that you root for, characters that you want to succeed. Is like Mark Hamill's acting is not that great in this movie, but the character is still very good. You know, they give you enough backstory. You know, Obi-Wan, he knows his father. You get little sprinkles. You know what I mean? That's enough. He thinks his dad is dead. Oh, spoiler. Thinks his dad is dead, you know, and stuff like that. And then that's cool. He's good to follow, but he's kind of, you know, he's like a dorky guy. But then you add in Han Solo, who's one of the coolest characters. And we talked about this back on our old live when we did the Han Solo versus Indiana Jones. Han Solo, one of the coolest characters that's that's ever been, in my opinion. Harrison Ford, his acting was not bad in this movie. It's very good. So the combination of those two, and I love like his sarcasm, especially with Princess Leia. Then you factor in Leia and Obi-Wan and R2. Like, there's not a character I don't like as far as the good guys are concerned. So I give him a 5.
All right. So I will say this. In the lead character role as Luke, I'm going to be really honest with you. I saw, and I want people to understand, when I saw this movie, I did it the same way you did. I did not go, okay, this is going to be old man Luke from whatever. No, I saw him like, if I was sitting there for the first time, what would I think of this character? And I was like, man, Luke is a whiny bitch.
Oh man,
you cannot honestly, like, this dude was whiny. He is so whiny. Like, I don't know if I want to do this because I gotta go get some power converters. And I was like,
the power converters, not the power converters.
No, I gotta go to Hitachi station to pick up some power converters, Uncle Owen. And I was just like, what is wrong with Luke? And I was like, man, I don't remember him being this annoying. Like, Luke was annoying at times. He was annoying, but I was like, it's okay because it's the journey of the hero, right? The journey's hero. And I was like, I'm cool with it, right? You're right. Han Solo is cool off the bat. The minute they meet him in Tatooine in the bar, he was just like, so what's the cargo? And Obi-Wan's like, well, it's gonna be us, some droids. And he's like, all right, how about 10,000?
10,000 now.
Yeah, he was like, now, yeah. And then I like the banter between him and Luke, because Luke was like, wait a minute, 10,000, I could get a ship. And he's like, who's gonna fly? And he goes, I could. I'm the best pilot there is.
I do like that.
Like that scene was so funny. He goes, wait, 17,000? You give me 2,000 now, 10 days? He goes, you got yourself a ship. Meet me at Bay 95. And I was like, oh, I love this dude. The Guido scene, I like
a lot
because he's like, my, you dude. So yours show the laser shooting. Yeah.
And he goes, right?
Because
like
his hit the wall.
His head, like CGI moves. Han Solo.
Yeah. Mine was an explosion. It was this white smoke. It went poof. And I started laughing. I said, this is so freaking funny. But honestly, yeah, I like that. Chewbacca's pretty cool, but he's not main focal here. He's just a sidekick, which I liked a lot. I'm sorry, man, but R2's my dude. R2-D2 has, for a robot that does not talk, his personality is such an amazing I love R2.
He's a gangster. Remember when he's in the sand?
Huh?
He's a gangster. Remember C-3PO's like, I'm not going that way. And he's just like, oh, all right. Well, he just keeps going anyway.
Yeah.
He starts scooting away.
Yeah. I like when they shot him. He's like, R2, can you pull out the power? They did sting and he got shot. And he was like, and I was like, So like, they all have personality. Like, Princess Leia is beautiful and she was a very strong character. And I love that. It's weird writing, right? Like, because if you look at the writing that we have now in our generation, 2020, whatever, like our decades, it's such a different way of their writing, right? In terms of female, like the characters, like she is such a powerful woman. Like, she is a princess, but she's just so grounded with the other characters.
She's a strong character being like overpowered. She's not a man. She doesn't act like a man.
She has her flaws.
She acts like a strong woman.
She's a kid. You can feel like she's a kid with all that power. Talking to her dad, not knowing that it's her dad, like, you ain't gonna get my people. Like, knowing it's her dad. And then she falls in love with her brother, which is weird.
But the banter between her and Han is amazing, where he's always like, you're a royalness, you're, you know, whatever. He's giving all these names. Hilarious.
Yeah, so look, with that, I gave it a 5. But if I was doing Luke alone, I would give him a 4 because of his annoying, like, just being annoying.
I
will
say, I could see that, but I one thing you said that I really agree with is the journey. And if you look at how he starts the movie or how he ends it as the hero in the ship, shooting the thing, it's kind of a nice arc.
Well, but my only problem with, let's say, and I don't want to go too in deep because then that's like nerdism and all that. But if you really look, he never had training with an X-Wing.
No.
This dude is flying up there with Biggs and Wiggs and all the big dudes that know how to fly these ships. And I'm like, that's the only part for me that I was just like watching the movie. I was like, well, how the hell did he have training in 2 seconds to fly
X-Wing? Something.
But I mean, what, a speeder?
And maybe in the future, like, they're all kind of similar. Like, it's like driving a car. You could drive a truck.
That's even if true. You only drove it a could car be. Before. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I just say that's like a nitpick, but it was just kind of funny because I was just like, oh, okay. But you know, it's funny when they were talking about the plans and they were like, you got to do this. And on my mind, I kept going, oh, Tom Cruise could do it in 2 seconds. Because the Top Gun, I was thinking that scene where he's like, goes on the F-16 and he puts the timer on the clock and they start watching him do the bomb run.
Also, funny story. Sorry, and this is the last thing. The part when he's in the ship at the end and Obi-Wan talks to him, you know, from from the great beyond or whatever. When you fly in the X-Wing. My cousin used to have a toy. It was an X-Wing. And when you pushed a button, it used to say, "Use the Force, Luke." So every time I think of that stupid toy. I drink so many times. Use the Force, Luke. You would push that button all the time. Use the Force, Luke.
Horrible. Oh, yeah. That part was even funny, too. Like, you don't need that, Luke. He turns on the targeting system. I'm like,
the great beyond.
Yeah. You don't need that, Luke. I'm here with you. No, but yeah, that stuff was like kind of funny, like the way they did it. But I mean, other than that, it was actually pretty cool. I liked it all. Five across the board here. Okay, main villain. So now you have the Empire. You got Darth Vader. You got General Tarkin. Yeah. You got them all, okay? Which is Christopher Lee.
No,
not Christopher Lee. What's his name?
It's the other guy. What's his stupid
name? The guy
name?
From that plays Van Helsing.
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing in the Hammer films. Okay.
Here's where everybody's going to get mad at me. Because I scored Darth Vader. He's the main villain. But you're right. There is a villain element. But here's where everybody's going to get mad at me. You were joking around. You were joking around in the chat, with one of our patrons, Scott. And you're like, man, Darth Vader is whack. He didn't even kill nobody. But you know what? When I was watching the movie, I was like, what is Darth Vader doing in this movie? What is he doing? How much is he in it? So I looked it up when it was over. He's on screen for 8 minutes. Okay. 8. The movie's 2 hours. Okay. So we have a 2-hour movie. Our main villain's on the screen for 8 minutes. So that's not amazing. Now, I will say, and my score will still reflect this, badass. He's one of the coolest characters as far as villains. Iconic. I think you can literally put him on the Mount Rushmore of movie villain. Absolutely. But was he that just in this movie? And for me, I actually said no. He chokes a guy, right? He strangles a guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he kills that guy.
Force choke.
He chokes another guy. But then the other guy's like, hey, stop. And he's just like, okay. And he just stops. So he's kind of a little bit henchman almost. Like he's not the boss in that case, because he could have just choked that guy and said, whatever, I do what I want. Okay. He lets them get away with the plans at the beginning because he was on the ship. He didn't stop them. Okay. And also he let them blow up the Death Star. Like, he doesn't really stop anything. I still gave him a 4. Because in my heart, I was like, I can't not give him at least a 4 because he makes such an impact in 8 minutes. I think there has to be credit given if you're only on screen for 8 minutes and everyone is like, that guy's awesome. But in a way, it's like Boba Fett, right? Like, what the heck does he do? He don't do crap, but everybody loves Boba Fett. So I don't know. In this movie, I don't think he's a 5. I know what's coming and I think he gets there. But for me, I gave him a 4. And I hope nobody unsubscribes.
Okay, so look, let's be honest here. When you saw that little conversation between me and Scott and I said that Darth Vader is whack, I truly believe in my heart he's whack. Okay. Like, and the thing is, not in this movie. As a character, I think they watered him down. And this is why I'm going to say as an entire arc, for those people out there who are going to start bitching, complaining and stuff, they made him into this powerful being, right? When you see Darth Vader, you go, oh my God, you know, whatever. Then you see the TV show, he starts to do all this craziness and everyone's like, oh my God, he's amazing. You see him in Rogue One, he's tearing up the entire ships, right? And people are all sucking him and everything. Obi-Wan Kenobi didn't touch a lightsaber for 10,000 years, picks up a lightsaber, fights him in his prime and still whips his ass like that if it was fight. Nothing. Yeah, that slow, horrible fight in somewhere in a cave. Yeah. Then you have this another fight between them in this when they're older enough and still has the wit to outsmart him going, ha, you think you're going to kill me in front of your own son? I'm going to evaporate and intertwine with the Force. And I'm like, at the end of the day, is Anakin / Vader that strong of a villain? No. Like, if you really think about it, if Obi-Wan could beat him in every point of their life, from the younger years to the middle of the years, and then even like then basically what they did was they're just pretty much making up stuff, because you cannot tell me he's the strongest dude and then Obi-Wan comes out of the blue and it could beat him 1-2-3.
Can we say like that Darth Vader's an incredibly strong villain and Obi-Wan is just stronger,
way better?
Because if you look at it, like, if you take another franchise, let's take Batman, the Joker, one of the greatest villains, but Batman is better, but he's still great. But I see your point. I agree.
Let's say, let's do it this way with your Batman analogy. Let's say Bruce Wayne hasn't picked up the cape in 10 years and then goes up against the Joker. The Joker's going to whoop him because he's rusted. He doesn't know his martial arts. He's going to be aching in pain. My man Obi-Wan Kenobi didn't know where the hell his lightsaber was throughout the whole episodes. And then all of a sudden, towards the end, he meets him one time, he gets scared, and then at the end of the damn episode, he's fighting him and all of a sudden he knows how to beat him. I was like, this makes no damn sense. Like, and everyone loved that anyway. Anyway, let's just get to the New Hope because that annoys me. This movie, Vader stinks. I'm just going to like, he's a great character. But he is not the Vader cool that everyone character. Thinks he is. Yes, he's in, yeah, the cool yeah. character. Yes, he force chokes people. But you got to remember, too, in this movie, the Emperor Palpatine is not even in this movie either. So he doesn't have the Emperor in this movie. So he fights Obi-Wan and they have one of the wackest fights. Like, this is go, boom, boom,
so slow.
Boom. Mad slow. And I totally understand it's the product of its time and everything. But I think what happens is when you start to watch the TV shows and the modern version and they take Vader and then they elevate him by 1,000, they make 4, 5, and 6 really bad because you're like, damn, this dude is this powerful at this time and he can't do this against Obi-Wan. He can't force choke him. You can't hit him with lightning. Like, there's so much stuff that you're just like, wow. But in the movie itself, I think he did a great job. They used him very well trying to get the plans from Rogue One that they passed it along to these people to give to Princess Leia. I think he did a great job there. The whole thing with the son, Luke and Leia, I still don't understand how he did not know those were his kids because Obi, he could read people's minds. So I don't understand why he didn't read Obi-Wan's mind when he saw Luke.
I think he knew. I just think he don't love him. He's evil. He don't care.
I think his half of Anakin
he might have suppressed
didn't kick
it down
in until
so
Empire.
Much. He's like gotten so dark.
Yeah, until Empire, yeah. He's like, I am your father.
And that's the other problem or too. The Emperor tells him. Watching this because you know the next movie and there's a lot of things in that I like better, but still you're right. Yeah. I agree with you. That's why I give him a 4.
Yeah, so like I'm not saying it's bad, like Vader is horrible or whack. It's just I think it comes down to when you start to watch these movies and even if this is a standalone, you're like, is he really that strong and that great? Unless you read novels and all this stuff. But in the movie, I agree with you. I give him a 4. I think he's a great great, but I don't think he's a perfect villain in this because you got the other Empire characters, the stormtroopers,
and
all
do?
That.
They
and
all suck. They get like, let's
they
be
can't
honest.
Shoot for
the
shit.
Stormtroopers suck. Like, they look cool, but they suck. This guy who's, as you said, never even flown an X-Wing, blows up their ship. Like, how good is the Empire really as a villain? Besides looking cool and looking formidable, what do they do? These three randos come in and end up destroying the whole thing. So in a way, I don't know how anyone, like some of our patrons here gave them a 5. I have no idea how, but it's okay.
Well, even that, you got General Tarkin, right? You have General Tarkin and they're telling him, oh man, they have the plans. Why don't we get off the ship? And he goes, nope. I'm staying here. And he died looking stupid. Like, I was just like,
even
what?
The first guys. Remember when the escape pod leaves and the guy goes to shoot it? He's like, nah, don't shoot it. There's no life on it. They just shot it just in case. They're not that good.
Yeah, they're not that smart. But anyway, 4 across the board here. Okay, now this is where I really want to get to. Action sequences.
So again,
what do you think?
I'm thinking, I'm sitting down. It's 1977. I'm sitting down in a theater. I'm probably seeing some cool stuff I never seen before. So to be honest, and then you said the budget was only 11. The effects in this movie, they still hold up. I think they're great. Not the ones that are added. The original effects are still very good. The lightsaber fight is not ideal, especially what we're going to see in the prequels when we do those later. Like, these guys are doing like flipping around and doing, and it's awesome. Here, it's the first time, but I still can't be like, it's amazing. It's not. However, I love the way the movie opens. We open on this ship. They're shooting right away. They're shooting lasers everywhere. Stuff's exploding. Escape pods. You get aerial stuff in space at the end with the X-Wings and the Death Star. The Death Star blows up a planet. You get shooting. I think there's enough and it's high quality, honestly, to give it a 4. It's not a 5 for me, but the effects are still good for a 70s movie. There's variety, which I like. There's no like really like hand-to-hand stuff. And then you get the adventure type action, right? Like when they're in the pit thing and they got to escape. And I think there's enough variety that I gave it a 4.
I agree with you. I gave it a 4 too. I don't think there's perfect. Like, again, if we were doing this in 1977, I would say this had perfect action because we didn't see all the advances in technology and the stuff. And I think that's what bothers me is the fact that I know what we could do now.
Right.
And I know George Lucas went back and retouched it all up and did a lot of stuff to it, which I still think he should have never did and touched. It is what it is. But me watching the actual unedited, uncut version of the film, I kind of like the action. I thought it looked great. I love that it all, you could tell it's all models everywhere behind a green screen or blue screen, whatever the hell it is. I liked it a lot. I always thought if they continue doing it that way, it makes it feel authentic. And that's what I like about even the TV shows is the fact that they still shoot with models. It's not CGI planes and stuff like that. So I kind of like that stuff. I was like, you know what? That's actually pretty cool. The lightsaber scenes, I don't like at all. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just, again, product of its time for me. But they look great. And honestly, watching, I saw a little bit of the 4K version and then I saw the Blu-ray unedited. They both look great. Like, I know he made it more blue and popping in the 4K, but it looked great. I love the way it turns on. It has like a little cut and it goes, and I was like, okay, it doesn't look smooth yet until the next movie. But I was like, I liked it. I thought the lightsabers looked cool. I don't know. I just feel like in terms of the action, it had a perfect amount. I love the space battles. I don't know about you. There's something about Star Wars with space battles. It makes it so fun and you feel like a kid. Like, the movie starts off with the bridge under the damn bad guy ship. And it's like, and you hear the music coming up and you're like, wow, this is actually really dope. And I love the
it feels like
the TIE fighters kicking in.
What kid doesn't playing with toys?
Yeah, and I'm going to say it now, and I don't care. We have nine movies to go. I mean, eight more movies to go. I'm going to say this now. The Millennium Falcon is the best looking ship I ever seen. I love it. I think it's one of the coolest Star Wars ship they put together. I mean, I know they have the Darth Vader ship, which I kind of like, and I like Kylo's silencer.
I like the design of everything. The Star Destroyers look sick, but the Millennium Falcon is just so unique. Like, what its shape, it's like a circle, but then the front's kind of squared. They have the big one at Disney down here, and it's amazing. It's like a life-size one.
I can't wait to go to to go to your Florida to see it in person. But like,
you're just going
to
want to stand there and look at it for like 20 minutes.
No, I want to get on it and move the dish. I want to actually work on it. Yeah, I know. I'll get arrested. No, but like, in all seriousness, I think that to me, this had nothing to do with lightsabers. I think this film showcased in space. And I think that's what gravitated and I loved it. So I gave it a 4 though. And that last battle is awesome too. When it goes right into the crevice. I thought that was so cool. So yeah, I give it a 4. Okay, storyline.
Okay, I feel okay giving this a 5. Because I think it's, again, this original, kind of. There were things that existed. You remember we did John Carter. I remember that those books were something that George Lucas was like kind of inspired by. Princess of Mars or whatever, right? Like, yeah. Takes inspiration, but it is still an original property. It's not an adaptation or anything like that. Well-written characters, well-written lore. This movie has not as much. Rewatching it, it's kind of sparse. Like, there's a lot of parts where they're just like walking around the desert and, you know, doing mundane things. However, they set up enough characters where you're just intrigued, like, what are those things? Who are they? And even if you don't get, like, the sand people, Luke's like, those are sand people. I don't know what sand people is. I don't know their backstory or history, but they look cool, right? I don't know what them little munchkins are that kidnap R2-D2 and put him in the giant tank.
Oh, the Jawas.
Yeah, the Jawas. I don't know. Yeah. I know the guy jumps out and he's like, meow, 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 and he says something weird and he said, damn, boom! It's like, what?
They do it in all the shows when they shoot their gun and go, damn,
like, boom. What is that thing? I don't know, but it's cool. And it's very creative. This is fantasy in space. It's a fantasy film with a sci-fi element. I think it is very well written. Great, again, great characters, great lore, even if it's not all explained. Like, they're like the Senate. They talk about the Senate. I don't know. Like, they don't go into the inner workings of who it is or what it is, but you get enough where you could follow the story. The fact that this, you know, it says at the beginning, like episode 4 and everything, you could feel like this, just is in the middle of something, like stuff's going on already. These characters have backstories. I don't know them, but I'm intrigued enough. I think it is a great written film. I gave it a 5.
Okay. So when it comes to this storyline, I agree with you. I give it a 5. And the reason why, and I don't want to harp on it too much, is you said everything that I wanted to say, but I love the fact that it's a hybrid story. And this is what I mean by it. The fact that George Lucas went, you know what? Let's start off with 4 instead of Phantom Menace. Let's start off with the 4th one, because then you could create more of a world wherever he wants to go. He could go 7, 8, 9, or he could go 1, 2, and 3, which we already know he went 1, 2, and 3. And then come back for 7, 8, 9, which is a tragedy, tragedy for me. But we'll talk about that when we get to those films. But yeah, but in terms of this one, I like it because it's a hybrid. I like the fact that he did that. This, what makes this that I like a lot, is that it's a fun adventure film that you can enjoy with your family and friends. It's nothing crazy, like you said, because once we hit those prequels, it's going to start going into talking the Senate versus
politics.
You know, the whole, mad politics. And I was like, okay, that's different story, but I like this. I thought it was a good adventure, and I felt fun. It felt like a 70s adventure film. So that's what I liked about it, and I thought it was great. And you're right. All the characters have developed very well. It was like 5 characters, and he developed spoiled every one of them for you. You knew a little bit about the Force and you knew a little bit about the dark side. You didn't know much until the later sequel. So I kind of like that too. Remind me of Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
You watch the first Harry Potter, you get to the, you know, you get to Hogwarts, he gives you a little wand, you get the little books, and then each movie he gets stronger.
I'm sure J.K. Rowling loves Star Wars, honestly.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it makes sense. Kind of similar if you really think about it. But anyway, I gave it a 5. I agree with you there. Okay. I really wanted to think your overall. What was your overall? All right,
this was kind of hard because this is not my favorite Star Wars movie. And while I gave the story a 5, characters a 5, I did give some 4s. I think it is very good. I think it is a very good film. It's a classic. You know, you gotta, there's one part where you have to respect a movie no matter what, because it is a classic. But at the same time, like, do I have to like every classic? No, but I do like this movie. There's issues. The acting, like you said, Mark Hamill's not good. I don't care. His performance is not good in this. Some other people are good. He's not. And we're following him the whole movie. So that's not great. He does get better. His acting gets better. Now I think he's great. But even in these movies, he gets better. So some of the acting, I do think the first like 35 minutes, there's some boring parts, honestly. Like there is. They're just walking around the desert. They're getting kidnapped by the little munchkins. Then they're getting, like, there's no point to it really. And the story, like, it's just stuff that happens. And then there's, could have been another, like, okay, I get it that those things happen and then Uncle Owen gets them and then they go. But they could have just like wandered and he could have found them outside. Like, it didn't have to go through this 15 minutes of weirdo stuff. So there's some parts like that where I'm like, this is a little boring. I do think there are boring moments in this movie. But overall, I think it is good. Like you said, it's an adventure film. It's a sci-fi film. It's a Western. That whole segment on in the bar in Tatooine with Han Solo, that's straight out of an old Western. You know what I mean? So it's got a little bit of everything. I felt comfortable with my score. I gave it a 4.5. I think a 9 out of 10 is where I fall on this movie, because I think it has some flaws, but they're not like huge. So I didn't mark off that much, but I don't think it's a 5, honestly, overall for me. It's a 4.5.
Okay. I might get beat up for this. I agree with you. I felt like there's times in this movie was boring. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, this is, I was like, why am I sitting through this? I don't gravitate to this one a lot. So I want people to understand. I want to preface by saying this is not the one that I always go to and watch. Okay. I'll talk about which is my favorites once we finish the first three. I mean, the 4, 5, and 6. But this one is not my top. But I felt like it was boring. I do. For some reason, Luke is annoying as hell in this movie. He is just whining and whining and whining. I like Princess Leia. I like Han Solo a lot. I wish the villain should have been more villainy, to be honest with you. I felt like with Darth Vader, they should have showed more of his skills as a great pilot, because Anakin, we all know, is a great pilot, but they didn't show much of it in this movie as Darth Vader. So I'm just like, okay, it is what it is. With that said, I gave it a 3. I gave it a good, and I'm going to be, and you know, I, again, it's, a, it is what it is. I gave it a good, it's a good movie. It's a very good movie. It's a good movie to start off a franchise, because we know it's a franchise. It's good. I like the storyline. Like I said, that I think it had enough action, has good villains, has great, you know, starting leads. But at the end of everything, I just think, to me, it was just boring at times while watching it. And this is not the one I always gravitate to. So I'm going to be honest right with now, it. So
someone agreed with you that's listening to this, and also someone just threw their phone across the room and in anger.
Hate me.
That's how this franchise is, you know what I mean? So probably someone got mad at me for giving it a 4.5. You know, but I could see that. There I don't remember who I watched this with. Maybe my sister or something, and they were like, it was okay. Like, I can understand why some people love it. I totally could. If I was alive and I saw this in 1977 with everything that had been out, I probably would have loved it. I probably would have been like, this is like nothing I've seen. But watching it now, it is not like nothing I've seen. It's like a lot of things I've seen. Now, it was the originator, but that doesn't change the fact that I saw movies that probably were inspired by this before I saw this. So it is the nature of the beast. You know, at this point, the movie's 50 years old. People are going to, not everyone's going to feel the same way as when it came out.
And that's the thing. I think nowadays, a newer generation, even if they watch A New Hope, they're not going to think it's the greatest movie ever made.
My niece would hate this. And she'd be bored. And if I put on one of the new ones, she'd be like, this is so cool. Look at this, you know, technology and these cool characters. So,
because look, my wife reads all the books. Yeah. She reads all the Star Wars books. And when we watched this, at the end of it, she was just like, man, this one is not as good as I remembered. Because we don't watch it much. So she was like, it's kind of slow. And I was like, all right. So she was like, what are you giving it? And when I said a 3, she goes, I agree with that. Yeah. She goes, it's a good movie. It's good. Like I said, please don't try to hang me or nothing. Wait till we finish the whole thing and we'll talk about it. But yeah, I think a 3 is a good for this. That's all right. Nate, what is your total points?
A 22 and a half. Out of a 25. I think it's a great film and a great starting point. And you know what I love about this, Alex? It has an ending. This does not end with, we're going to make 18 more of these. It ends like, this is the only one. Thank you for coming. And I love that about it. That's not the case with the rest of these movies or all of these movies. So I like that. 22 and a half.
I gave it a 21 out of a 25. Yeah. Like I said, this is it's a great start to a great franchise. I think that's the way you can sum it up here. All right, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast? All right.
Next, we are continuing on with Bruce Willis Month. And we have a movie that I don't think neither of us have seen, but we'll talk about it in the next episode. And that's going to be a little movie called Last Man Standing from 1996. We're going to be doing that, starring Bruce Willis. And then next week, we move on to the next in the Star Wars franchise, which is The Empire Strikes Back. Now we're getting to the 80s. It's 1980. So we're getting to the 80s Star Wars. This is a major moment in film history as well, you could say. So yeah, we're going to be doing Empire Strikes Back. And we're going to have a special guest for that. Hopefully, our buddy Rich from TurnerFan77, who was supposed to be on a while ago. Maybe he'll show up this time. So he's going to be on talking some Star Wars with us.
I know that is the one everybody loves in the 4, 5, and 6 is Empire. So yeah, it's going to be good to sit down and talk about it. All right. So with that said, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts. All right. So new changes came along the way. We're going to announce now, because by the time this episode comes out, it'll be already in implemented. So with that said, you guys want to follow us, follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Nate is doing his podcast with his friends on Instagram every other Monday when we are not live on Nateflix Reviews. Now, when it comes to Geeks and Flicks Live, we are now back Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Yes. So we're going to be doing all our wacky segments. We're going to have new people, faces for you guys to sit down and hang out with us. Again, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Every other week. With that said, you guys want to follow us, Action Movie Guys, Instagram, Geeks and Flicks. Other than that, www.geeksandflicks.com, our official website for all things Action Movie Guys. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.